It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Do you have a fear of something that you know is probably fine and safe, but maybe you're still afraid of it anyway, like a fear of flying? Do you think this anxiety is normal, or is it go just a little bit further than you think it probably should? My guest is Dr. Reed Wilson. He has written the book, Don't Panic, Taking Control of Anxiety Attacks. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wilson. Let's speak about anxiety attacks. So first of all, let's start with fear of flying. I'm afraid of flying. I am. I'm afraid when I'm alone flying, and I'm afraid even with my family. It's just the turbulence. It freaks me out. So
the turbulence, you're afraid you're going to die because of the turbulence?
Yeah, I'm afraid we're going to drop. I did have an experience once when I was 16 where the plane dropped a couple of thousand feet, and we had to make an emergency landing. But is the turbulence that dangerous? Is this all in my mind?
No and yes. Turbulence is not dangerous. Planes can certainly handle all of that. And actually, it didn't fall 2,000 feet. It certainly felt like it, but the planes never fall very far, even though you
it was probably like 100 feet, right? It was probably nothing. But it's
all about perception. You know, if even though turbulence is safe, if you perceive it as dangerous, your body's going to react as though it's dangerous. So your body's responding impeccably to a false message, and your work is to try to decide, are you going to trust the industry or aren't you? That's the big thing. And if you don't do that, nothing else is going to help. We can teach you relaxation skills till you're blue in the face. Actually, you wouldn't turn blue.
Actually blue, yes.
But it won't help if you keep telling yourself that the plane is dangerous. We have to transform this work into, this is about me, not about the plane. Then you can start getting some control.
Okay, so you offer some kinds of classes. You counsel people on these fears. Now, your first best piece of advice is, if you don't trust the industry, if you don't trust getting on that airplane, then no matter what kind of therapy you go through, you are just never going to get over that fear. What
Absolutely.
About
you have to take the ownership of figuring out how to trust them. Now, half the people I see don't have any issue around that. They're all afraid of having a panic attack. They trust the industry, the plane's not going to crash, everything's fine, but my body's going to go awry. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to have a heart attack. And that's a whole different set of problems.
Oh, yeah, I got no problem with any of that. I know that I won't act out. It's just, you know, fear of the plane crashing. And,
sure.
And so how do you start people? I mean, you know, you said start by trusting the industry. You have to accept the fact of how you feel about things. You know, people talk about breathing and acupuncture and relaxation and meditation. And do any of these kinds of things work?
Oh, sure. I mean, breathing skills can work. But the trouble with the fear of flying is it's so damn anxiety provoking. The anxiety can be so high that doing something passive like relaxation tends to be helpful but insufficient. You know, we like to have people bring a whole goodie bag of things, a music that they like, a steamy novel, talk to your next door seat partner, anything that you can help bring your mind to other tasks other than focusing on what's that sound and why is the attendant scurrying down the aisle and such.
Okay, yeah, and besides those things, you want to bring, you know, your tablet and your music and not necessarily a small bottle of vodka to mix with tomato juice so that you pass out.
Then you're just flying scared and drunk, too. And then people got to have meetings. You know, lots of people are flying for business, and they, you know, I had a woman I worked with that started drinking at 4 in the morning with vodka, but it's a terrible situation if you have tasks to do on the other side, and it doesn't necessarily help.
I like to sleep through as much as I can, the takeoff and the landing. My, you know, those are the two things I'm afraid of, and then the turbulence. But other than that, I kind of love flying. I like the food and the movies and everything. So when you're working with people, how do you get results? How do you know when somebody says, okay, I'm not afraid anymore?
Well, you know, we don't worry about that piece so much. What we got to worry about is people being unwilling to get on the plane. It's okay to worry, and that's actually one of the principles
normal, right?
We want to teach. That you got to expect, if you're a fearful flyer, you're going to get on the plane and worry. And then the flight attendant's going to talk about pulling your seat up and using it for a flotation device. Of course you're going to get anxious when you start hearing those kinds of things, but you've got to be willing to be okay with the fact that you are anxious, because as soon as you start saying, oh no, I can't be anxious, now you've got another problem on top of your anxiety. So over time, you got to habituate, you got to fly enough. That's the other trouble. People only fly once every 3 months or once every 5 months. It's difficult to habituate, get used to it when you fly so infrequently. If I have somebody with a fear of flying, I hope they have another phobia as well, because we can teach the generic skills if they have a fear of heights or a fear of closed-in spaces, and then transfer that over to the fear of flying. So that can be... So go ahead and develop another phobia, Melanie. We'll fix you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really don't want another. I mean, I don't love driving on the highway either, but I do it, and I don't freak out about it. So when do you know?
But there you go. It's a good example. Fear of driving, 37,000 people are killed on the highway. Less than 100 are killed per year. But we feel in control of the car. We don't feel in control of the plane. And really, if you can get to the point of going, you know, this is really a control issue for me, you're halfway home at that point, because that's what we want to pay attention to.
Okay, now that's
I'm not
a really
in control.
Good. That's a great point, Dr. Wilson, because I am a water skier and a snow skier, not afraid of those things, but I won't go tubing because I'm not in control of any of it. And
right.
When someone else is driving. So basically, it's about that ability to trust yourself and your ability and feel like you're more in control than all those other people out there who don't know anything about anything.
Sure. And, you know, everybody up in the sky is a professional. You can't trust those guys either, of course. Drivers on the highway. But if you can say, this is a control issue for me, you really then need to, then you can start going, oh, that's what that is. Instead of all these little things, my claustrophobia, panic attack, this and that, if you can go to the big thing, which is, okay, I'm going to get on a plane and it's going to sure make me feel like I'm not in control. I expect to be anxious. Here are the ways I'm going to take care of myself. You know, the things we've been talking about, and then that's the biggest stuff. And you know, if you flew every single day of your life, Melanie, it would take you 26,000 years before your number would be up, before you would die on a plane. So with probability, it's ridiculous to think about dying. But people who are anxious think about possibility, not probability. So if we can make that shift, that's going to, you know, if I can tell myself, oh, you know, there I go again. I'm just thinking of the possibility, this minute fraction of a chance that this would happen. Now we're focusing on the things that are most important.
Wow, that is so interesting, Dr. Wilson. In the last full minute that we have, wrap up anxieties for us, a fear of flying, your best advice for getting over some of those phobias that we all suffer from.
Well, first off, you got to be willing to tolerate the feelings in order to get through. You're going to have to go through the eye of the needle, and instead of trying to go around it. So that's first. And then take ownership in the work. I want to fly. I want to go to Seattle to that wedding. I want to start traveling with my spouse, who has frequent flyer miles everywhere. So you got to have an outcome picture that's strong enough for you to push through the fear that you'll face when you get on it. And then, as we said, there's lots of little ways to keep yourself refocused during the flight. But number one thing is, fine, I'm uncomfortable. And if you need to take medications, we tend to use benzodiazepines for flights, because you don't need to be hit over with a sledgehammer of selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors every day. You just take a medication that lasts 4 hours to 11 hours and can really take the edge off of it if you're just getting back to flying and trying to get more comfortable.
And you can find out more information about at anxieties.com. You're listening to Radio MD. I'm Melanie Cole. Be sure and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. I'm not afraid to talk on the radio. I love doing that. Flying? Not so much. But we're learning, and stay well.